What's up, little psychos? I'm Investigator Slater, host of the Psychopedia podcast. Psychopedia is a true crime podcast delivering raw, real, and absolutely gripping episodes every single week. I dig deep to uncover fascinating details of heinous true crime cases while exploring criminology and psychology theories. I take you into the absolute darkest corners of the human psyche, my favorite territory, and present cases like you've never heard them before. Follow and listen to Psychopedia everywhere you get your podcasts.
Welcome back. Michael Bartley in for Marty on this Thursday morning. I got to tell you something. If you want to know about this kind of stuff, you have to go to Doug Jackson, Director of Operations, Mechanical Maintenance. I mean, he is big time at Alcosan. And so he's my guest right now. Doug, good morning.
Hey, Michael, good morning. Thanks for having me.
I truly appreciate the time here. So I have friends who work in Washington, D.C. So do you, and we all have relatives, and, you know, it's right down the road. I was on the phone last night with a friend of mine who works on the Hill, and it was saying that they're doing whatever they can to stay, because, you know, he said he would jog the trails at the Potomac, staying as far away as he can. The stench is so bad, and, you know, and of course it would be with 245 million gallons of untreated sewage flowing into the Potomac. There's toilet paper floating, you know what floating. The E. coli levels are off the charts. It's a disaster, an environmental disaster of historic proportions is how the EPA describes it. You know, Doug, let me just ask you before we get into the nitty gritty of could it happen here stuff. What was your reaction when you heard about this thing in Washington?
I mean, you can't help but be sympathetic, not only as a sister utility. I mean, we're all dealing with infrastructure that's a little long in the tooth, and whether or not it's water line breaks within our region or sewer infrastructure, you can't help but be sympathetic, certainly to the utility, and obviously the impact in that circumstance to the local waterways, especially as how important that waterway is to that region.
No doubt about it. In your mind, I don't know if it seemed clear why it happened. What do you think the breach was because of aging lines?
Hey, y'all, I'm Maddie.
And I'm Poodle.
And together we host the podcast Reality Gaze.
We are two ridiculous homosexuals who love nothing more than talking about reality television
and tearing in a new one. So whether it's 90 Day Fiancé, Love is Blind, Love After Lockup, or any other trash TV show about lonely hearts looking for love, your gay besties got you covered, y'all.
New shows every week. Follow and listen to Reality Gaze wherever you
it's
get your
reality
podcast.
Gaze. Let's love!
Yeah, I mean, I'd hate to speculate necessarily. The age of the infrastructure was in the, you know, 60-year time period, which is very familiar to us. That's the age of a lot of the infrastructure that we have with Alcosan and within the region. It looked as though it was a shallower pipe in the ground, and, you know, at least from my, you know, limited view of it, it was just a failure of the pipe.
That said, Doug, could such a thing happen in the Pittsburgh region within into our rivers?
As I said, when you're dealing with infrastructure for Alcosan, you know, going back to the late 50s and the early 60s when it was installed within the region, you have sewer infrastructure that's over a century old within the region. There are things that certainly can happen with that infrastructure, at least for the authority with a fairly robust preventative maintenance plan on inspections and on cleaning of some of the infrastructure. You hope that wouldn't necessarily be the case, but, you know, things are possible, certainly.
But the way I understand it, Alcosan has, and I'm not putting words in your mouth, but sort of better safeguards than Washington, D.C., the utility there.
Yeah, so fortunately for us, you know, as you know, our region, usually sewer infrastructure is built along the rivers. It's the lowest point, so things, even sewer piping, things flow downhill. And with our collection system and the sewer pipes that come to us, the further you get away from the plant, the smaller in size and the shallower they are in the ground. And by the time they get to the treatment plant, they're, you know, our largest pipe is 10.5 feet in diameter, and it's 100 feet below the ground. And the majority of it comes just by gravity. So you're not talking about a water line that's under very extreme pressures that's going to cause fatigue in the piping. Our gravity of our topography and the foresight that folks had when they designed our system in the 40s and the 50s took advantage of the topography to bring it all by gravity, so it's not under those extreme pressure conditions.
And I know that Doug Jackson is my guest with Elkesan, Director of Operations. Doug, look, and I know there's overflow during major storms, but you've been quite proactive on that. This thing that happened in Washington is a whole different ball game here. This was a rupture, and how would you prevent that in Pittsburgh?
Yeah, the prevention part is obviously the challenge. By having an ambitious preventative maintenance program to be able to do inspections to make sure that debris isn't accumulating within the piping system. Fortunately, at least for the Elkesan system, we're very deep in the ground, so fatigue that may occur at the surface due to freeze-thaw cycles and other items that might compromise the piping are a little bit less on the Elkesan system than there would be in the regional system that has smaller piping that's a little bit shallower. But regardless of the circumstance, there have to be contingency plans in place should something like this occur, which, at least from what I've read, the DC Water, you know, implemented a plan of bypass pumping, and that would be a similar approach that we would have to take here should something like that also occur.
But the difference is in the Pittsburgh area, Elkesan, your infrastructure is deeper in the ground than Washington. So what happened at the Potomac, I don't want to say would be highly unlikely here, or I don't want to put words in your mouth, but what are the chances?
I wouldn't want to speculate on what the chances are. So, I mean, I've been with the authority for 35 years. The authority went into service in 1959. There hasn't been, to my recollection, I mean, this was a 72-inch pipe. So you're talking a very large pipe that's shallow in the ground. That's not infrastructure that we necessarily own. Now, municipalities and other governmental bodies within the region have infrastructure ownership of that type as well. But from our perspective, at least from Elkesan's perspective, the risk is a little bit more limited than it is with DC Water.
So, because here's the bottom line, Doug, here's the takeaway. As you know, we have a lot of activities on our rivers. We have, I mean, we use our rivers, we recreation on our rivers, we drink our rivers, all of that. And that's not, none of that is lost to the people at Elkesan to make sure that inspections are on time, that maintenance as best you can, to prevent a huge raw sewage spill like they see in, like they're dealing with right now in Washington.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, as long as I've been here, I've come to value the benefit that we provide to the region on a yearly basis. I mean, we're treating over 70 billion gallons of treated waste, of polluted wastewater, removing, 100,000 tons of some pollution and putting, water quality back into the river. And you look at the rivers that we have and the development that's around there, and we can't take some pride in knowing that we had some impact on that. And if it was fraught with raw sewage continuously, either due to rain events or overflows that our clean water plan is attempting to go ahead and mitigate, or whether or not it would be some type of catastrophic failure that would happen with infrastructure, it certainly would be a a top priority for us.
There's a lot at stake.
Hey guys, Fly on the Wall is back for another season. That's right, on audio and video every Monday and Thursday.
Follow and listen to Fly on the Wall everywhere you get your podcasts.